Walking down the street, Jesus saw a man who had been blind from birth. His disciples asked,
"Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, causing him to be born blind?"
"Neither this man or his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. We must do the work of the one who sent me. Night is coming, when no one can work. For as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world."
He then spat in the dust. "Disciple, where are you going?" "You're following Jesus." No. Jesus then spat in the dust and made a clay paste with the saliva and rubbed the paste on the man's eyes and said, the man. And said,
"Go wash at the pool of Siloam."
Siloam means sent. The man went and washed and could see. Soon the town was buzzing with amazement. His relatives and those who year after year had seen him as a blind man begging were saying,
"Why? Isn't this the blind man we knew? We'll always sat here and beg? It's him, all right."
"It's not the same man at all. It looks just like him."
"It is me."
"How did your eyes get open?"
"A man named Jesus made paste and rubbed it on my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' And I did what he said. When I washed, I saw."
"So where is this man, Jesus?"
"I don't know."
They took the man. The bystanders took the man to the Pharisees, who were a very strict... Stand up. You can stand up. You're not lame. Who were a very strict religious group. The day when Jesus made the paste and cured the man was the Sabbath, when no one is supposed to do work of any kind. They asked him how he had come to see, and he said,
"He put clay paste on my eyes and I washed, and now I see."
"Obviously, this man cannot be from God. He worked on the Sabbath. But how can a sinner do miraculous things like this?"
They argued amongst themselves and then decided to question the man further.
"You're the expert. After all, he opened your eyes. What do you say about him?"
"He must be a prophet sent by God."
The Pharisees did not want to believe this and suspected the man wasn't blind to begin with. They called the parents of the man and asked,
"Is this your son, the one who was supposedly born blind? So how is it that he now sees?"
Okay, real quick. I need some parents. One, and one more.
Andres raised his hand, he just didn't see it.
Huh? Come on up, Andres.
Yeah!
Here
he
is. Finally, he's good. Here you guys go.
Hey, Dad.
Read the line for the parents. Both of you guys? In sync or whatever. How sweet.
"We know he is our son, and we know he was born blind. But we don't know how he came to see and haven't a clue about who opened his eyes. Why don't you ask him? He's a grown man and can speak for himself."
Andres, you let the woman speak?
Yep.
All right.
Sure.
The parents were afraid of the powerful Pharisees because they realized that anyone who suggested that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of their synagogue meeting place. That's why they said to him, "Ask him. He's a grown man." The Pharisees called the man back a second time and told him,
"Give credit to God for your cure, but this man, Jesus, who we know must be an imposter."
"I know nothing about that way or the other, but I know one thing for sure. I was blind, and now I can see."
"What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?"
"I've told you over and over, and you haven't listened. Why do you want to hear it again? Are you so eager to become his disciples?"
"You might be a disciple of that man, but we are disciples of Moses. We know for sure that God spoke to Moses, but we have no idea who this man is or even where he comes from."
"Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We all know that God doesn't listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of the opening of the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing."
"You're nothing but a common beggar. How dare you tell us who comes from God and who doesn't?"
Then they threw him out in the street.
Yeah.
Jesus heard that they had thrown him out and went and found him. He asked him,
"Do you believe in the Son of Man, the Messiah God promised to send?"
"Point him out to me, sir, so that I can believe in him."
"You have now seen him. In fact, He is the one speaking with you.
Master, I believe.
The man then kneeled and worshipped him.
I came in I came into the world to bring everything into the light of day, making God's will clear, so that those who have never understood the truth will see it, and those who have made a great pretense of knowing God's ways will be exposed as blind to the truth.
Does that mean you're calling us blind?
If you were really blind, you would be blameless. But since you claim to see everything so well, you're responsible for your false pride and refusal to believe.
Thea, give him a hand! Bravo! You're the man! You're the man!
No.
Great job, guys. Great job. Hey, when we get excited about something, don't we want to tell everyone?
No.
Lady, no.
All right. Let me give you an example. I think I might have told you this story, but my birthday in 2010, was epic. I tell everyone this story. They're like, dude, what was your best birthday? I'm like, let me tell you. It started out, I went to a Dodgers game. I'm sorry, Mark.
I'm sorry.
I went to a Dodgers game. I was with a bunch of Dodgers fans, and I'm a Dodgers fan. So we went to the Dodgers game. And the Dodgers were winning for most of the game until the ninth inning. And our closer came and blew the save. Like, he totally would have had the win. It would have been 3-0, but it tied up in the ninth inning, 3-3. And we're like, oh no, dang it, what in the world? That was stupid. I hate that pitcher. So anyway, our team gets up. And it's the ninth inning. We're cheering. We're like, yeah, come on, Dodgers, come on. You have one last chance before you go in the extra innings. You can take this game. So their closer gets up, and they start pitching. And the Dodgers start hitting some more. And more hitting. And more hitting. Until eventually, bases are loading. And as a joke to one of my friends, before the ninth inning, I said, hey, my favorite player, Andre Ethier, is going to hit a home run and win the game. And I thought, they're like, yeah, whatever, that's cool, you're dumb, Jim, whatever. Bases are loaded, and guess who's up? Andre Ethier. And I kid you not, I was sitting in right field. Andre Ethier is a right field player. And I was waving at him a couple times, being like, give me the ball, when he had the ball, you know? I kid you not. It was my birthday, and he said, this one's for that guy in the right field stand. It's his birthday. He gets up to bat. Smack! Over center field. Home run. Game over. Best baseball game ever. Well, for me, it was.
He took the moment away right there.
So it was my birthday. This was like the best game I've ever been to. I went out and I bought a baseball hat because it's my birthday and I can, right? So I got this sweet hat, went to the most epic baseball game, and that night we're in Hollywood, so we thought, hey, Iron Man 2 is coming out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Let's go see the midnight showing of Iron Man 2 in Hollywood. And we thought, oh my gosh, this would be so great. So we did it. We went to Hollywood. We went to the midnight showing at the Arclight Theater, which is a really awesome theater. And we sat down, getting ready, and right before the previews came up, two guys walked up to the stage. And I thought, okay, this is ushers coming up, you know, please turn off your cell phones, please don't talk during the movie, please be respectful for one another. And they get up, and this is what I hear, because I wasn't taking them seriously, but I hear this. Yeah, we really had fun making this movie. And my ears perked up. And I thought, what? And this guy said, yeah, it was a really, really fun time making this movie. And here's Robert to tell you more. And I thought, what? What? And I look closer, because I was, like, way in the back. And I look closer, and it was Jon Favreau who directed Iron Man 2 and Robert Downey Jr. introducing their movie, Midnight Showing, in Hollywood. So not only did I have an epic baseball game that I went to where I called the winning play and the guy who's my favorite player hit a home run out, I went to Iron Man 2, saw Robert Downey Jr., introduced his film, epic night. Then on top of that, went home, got home like around 6 o'clock in the morning, been up all night, it was crazy. Got home and I crashed, and then the next morning my friends came over to my house, picked me up and said, hey, surprise, it's your birthday, we're going to take you out. So, like, they totally surprised me. It was the most epic birthday of my life. I love telling that story because it's one of the coolest things that has happened to me. It's not as cool, not as awesome as when I got married or when I proposed. If you want to hear my engagement story, that's an epic one, but we're running out of time. But we love telling stories about some of the awesome stuff that has happened in our lives. And that's what we see in this passage. Go grab a Bible. Go, and we're going to read through John chapter 9. We're going to read a couple parts. John chapter 9. You just saw the story. What happened? Someone give me a synopsis of what happened. Someone who wasn't in the play. Let's see.
Oh, I wasn't really in the play.
You were in the play.
You were in the play.
Who was not in the play that could give me a synopsis?
Sandra?
Michelange. Okay, so louder, so everyone can hear you.
So Jesus was walking and his one disciple, and he saw this blind guy, and then he's like, he cured the blind guy, and the blind guy was like, oh my God, I'm seeing you. And then like, the bystander was like, how about you see you said a person, you really don't believe that, and he's going to try
to help
him. Uh-huh. Like, call the guy over. And the guy said that he was just good. And they were going to ask him, and he got their dad. And then, like, the first one out, and he was like, oh, I'm not going to play. Like, yay.
Awesome. So, Ben, who was born blind, I mean, none of us can really picture what that would be like, received his sight for the first time ever. For the first time, he could see trees and the sun and the clouds and people, and like Santo said earlier, ladies, he could see. It's amazing. And he went out, and he was telling everyone. And people are like, wait a second, there's no possible way you could be this man who was a beggar, who was blind. He's like, it was me. It was me. It was me. I got healed. It was really me. No way. You're dumb. It really was. And this man had one thing to say. One story. One testimony about what Jesus did in his life. And that's what he told. So, let's read verses 1 through 7. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. We've heard that before, haven't we?
Yep.
Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So when he washed, so he went and washed and came back to see. So this is the story. This is the beginning of the story. A man was sitting down, begging for money. He didn't ask Jesus to be healed. He didn't deserve to be healed. Jesus just walked up to him and said, "This man is going to glorify God. I'm going to heal him." You know, when I read this story, it reminds me of how I prepare for a lesson. How when we read God's word, it should impact us. It should stretch us. It should teach us more and more about God. The book of Hebrews says that the word of God is living and active. What does that mean? What does it mean that the Word of God is living and active? Ham, yes?
It changes people.
It changes people? George, what do you think?
I don't know.
Living and active. What comes to your mind when someone tells you something is living and active?
It's alive.
It's alive!
It's alive.
Yes. It could apply to people's lives and actually change them. Did you have something? Or are you just doing it? Oh, I thought you said something. It could apply to people's lives. When we read God's word, it changes us. It shapes us. It teaches us more and more about God. And so, whenever we have a passage that we have to read through and study as a group, I always read over this passage, or not this passage, but read over the passage a couple times. And then I look at it and I see, okay, how does this apply to me? How does this word change me? What do I learn more about God? What can I see that I haven't seen before? And as I read the word, it changes me. Think back. What's your favorite Bible verse? Anyone have a favorite Bible verse?
John 3:16.
Everyone hopefully should know that. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Why is that your favorite verse? It's the first verse you learned. Awesome. Joshua.
Joshua 1:9,
which says?
Something like the Lord is very
be strong and courageous, yeah. The Lord your God will never leave you nor forsake you. Something like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. Awesome. Great verse.
Proverbs 3:5-6.
Proverbs. That's been one of my favorite verses. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Anyone else?
Psalm 118:1,
which says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever.
Micah 6:8. Seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God.
But he has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to
seek justice,
love mercy, and walk humbly with your God, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Anyone else? These are great.
Galatians 1:10,
which says, you guys can look it up, by the way.
Or am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant.
Awesome. David.
Philippians 4:6-7.
Which says?
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition let your request be made known to God.
Uh-huh.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds.
Awesome. There's, yeah, one more.
Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Did you have one? Or someone else? Did anyone else have one more? I don't want to cut people off. Yeah, Joaquin.
Ephesians 6:13.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand deep in the evil day and get down all the stand
for. Okay. There's a reason that these are our favorite Bible verses. Because they stand out to us. Because they shape us. Because they give us an understanding of who God is. My favorite Bible verse used to be, it still is kind of, I love Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it goes along so well with helping me to learn to trust God no matter where He takes me. But my favorite verse as of lately is Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, which says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. And it's talking to me about how there are so many people in the Bible who have gone through stuff that we go through every day, face temptations and trials and everything that we face every day, and seeing how they live their lives, whether they succeed or fail, is testimony to who God is. And because we're surrounded by these stories, let's look at those, but let's fix our eyes on Jesus, who went through everything. That's what it says to me. The Word of God shapes our lives. The Word of God changes us. But it can't stop there. If you're changed, can you remain the same? If you're changed, can you really stay the same? Say you've made a New Year's resolution. I'm going to lose weight this year. I'm going to go out and I'm going to work out every day. But you don't. You just said it. You just made the statement, I'm going to do this, but you don't. Are you really changed?
No.
No. No. When God's Word changes you, let it penetrate into your heart. Let it go down and really change you. So that when your heart changes, you can go out and tell others. You can go out and show how you've changed. Being changed requires action. Being changed requires going out. And finally, always keep your eyes on Jesus. Always look for Jesus. And always give glory to Him. If you received a gift from someone, say someone came up to you and handed you $100, just out of nowhere. Would you be like, thanks, whoever you are? Or, thanks, who gave me this $100? No, you remember. You remember. Be like, my auntie gives me $100. Why do you have $100? Awesome. She gave me $100.
You actually have $100?
Yeah.
And this is what she gives me $100. And you know what I say? Dude, Mark! Marley just gave me $100.
Why didn't you give me $100?
Isn't that awesome? Dude! Jenny! Guess what happened today? Marley gave me $100. It was so awesome. I can't believe it.
I ain't giving anybody $100, just to tell you.
At the beginning of the story, Jesus looked at the man, and the disciples asked, who sinned, this man or his parents. And he said, no one sinned. But this man was born this way so that God could receive glory. Which is a tough thing for us to grasp. But ultimately, whatever happens in our lives, we need to be pointing to Jesus. I don't know what's going on in most of you guys' lives. I don't know what hardships there are. I don't know whether you're being bullied at school or whether you're the bullier. I don't know whether or not there's something happening in your life and you can't explain it why. But I do know this. That when something hard happens in your life, look to Jesus. Look to His Word. And give glory to Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for this time. Thank You for just what You've taught me. God, help me to be more excited about telling my story to others. Help me be more excited to show what You've done in my life. God, we all have a story to tell. And I just pray that You would use that for Your glory. Thank You so much. In Your name I pray. Amen.